ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
So here's Jephthah. He sends another letter to the king of the Ammonites, and he wants them to remember why they don't have this land. This is a history lesson. And the negotiations kind of go like this. The land that the Ammonites were talking about was a land that was taken from them in a previous battle against the Amorites. The Amorites now possess that land. They conquered the Ammonites and took their land. Well, when the children of Israel came in and defeated Sihon, the king of the Amorites, they took the land from the Amorites again, which was previously the land of the Ammonites. Are you with me? Amorites, Ammonites. There'll be tests, don't worry. The point that Jephthah's making, and it's pretty simple. Look, this was in your land in the first place. It hasn't been your land for some time. It's been given to the children of Israel. You lost the land to the Amorites. We took it from them. So it's not your land. So basically, Jephthah's saying, if this is true, and it is, then why are you coming against us? We didn't take the land from you. It wasn't yours in the first place. You lost it. Isn't that interesting that Jephthah knew his history? He knew the history of the children of Israel. Look at what's going on in our country today. We're trying to destroy what? Our history. Alter our history. And people are jumping on the bandwagon regarding this issue. I'll just share this with you. You'll see what I mean. And many Christians buy into these lies of what basically the socialists are telling them. We're told this. The U.S. Constitution states that American citizens have the right to free speech and the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. However, looting, destroying public and private property, and vandalizing historic monuments is not free speech. These actions not only border on anarchy, but show a real lack of understanding history. During the riots and protests following the death of George Floyd, killed by a white police officer, many monuments across the country honoring Americans' heroes were damaged. In Washington, D.C., the World War II Memorial was spray-painted with the words, "Do Black Veterans Count?" The memorial was built to honor all races and creeds who served to defend America during World War II. Did the one who scrawled the questionable epitaph realize that a million Americans of African descent, men and women, served bravely during World War II, defending this country, often with their lives, knowing that when they returned home, they would be facing racism? In New Jersey, the Veterans Advisory Council at the VA Lyons campus consists of black and white members, all of whom dedicate themselves to helping all veterans, regardless of race. Yes, black veterans do matter. VFW National Commander William Schmitz condemned the vandalism of the World War II memorial. The VFW believes in peaceful, organized demonstrations. However, we are extremely saddened and angered to find our sacred World War II memorial was defaced. The veterans who fought for the very freedom to demonstrate deserve a better. Our sacred monuments in Washington were also vandalized. The statue of Thaddeus Kazuko, I believe is how you say his name, was spray-painted with obscene phrases and covered in urine. He played a vital role serving as a colonel in the U.S. Continental Army and was designer of the fortification that would eventually become West Point Academy. The irony of this vicious act upon his statue was that he was a believer in the rights of ethnic and racial minorities. In his will, he left instructions that part of his fortune was to be used to buy out and free slaves, and those free slaves be given an education. Those who desecrated the statue showed disrespect to the very man who was ahead of his time in trying to get equality for African Americans. Isn't that amazing? They didn't know their history. They're destroying statues and monuments of people who were standing up for them. Also, the steps of the base of the Lincoln Memorial also got spray painted with the words, "You all have enough." This showed a lack of respect to the memory of Lincoln, who led the country through the Civil War in his effort to end slavery. This memorial was the very place in which Martin Luther King Jr. gave his famous "I Have a Dream" speech. King was an advocate of nonviolence and securing racial equality and said that if we as Negroes succumb to the temptation of using violence in our struggle, unborn generations will be the recipients of a long and desolate night of bitterness, and our legacy to the future will be an endless reign of meaningless chaos. That's pretty prophetic, isn't that? What I want to encourage you is, look at Jephthah here. He knew the history of his Jewish people, and we should know our history as well. We should understand what this nation was founded upon. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes here. Don't get me wrong, this wasn't a perfect nation. It's never been a perfect nation with perfect people, because there are none. But we were a far better nation because of our roots in the Judeo-Christian faith. You know, we kind of mock and look down upon Russia and China and other countries who suppress the truth, who change their history or alter their history or cover their history and replace it with things that they want. We have to be careful. We're doing the same thing. And if you don't learn from history, you're going to repeat it, and it's not going to be pretty. And I think we see that happening here. And as important as our history is, I think the next point that Jephthah brings out is even more important. The Lord gave Israel the land. Very key. And again, Jephthah knew his history. Look at verse 23 here in Judges 11. "So now the Lord God of Israel has dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel. Should you then possess it? Will you not possess whatever Chemosh your God gives you to possess? So whatever the Lord our God takes possession of before us, we will possess." I like that. I mean, he kind of just nails them. He goes, hey, whatever your God gives you, hey, you take that. We know what our God has given us, and we're staying where we're at. Amen. You know, your God is nothing. Our God is God. Again, they didn't take the land from the Ammonites. They defeated the Amorites. And God drove out the Amorites. He gave Israel the land. And basically, why in the world do you think you should possess it? You lost it to the Amorites. And Israel, by God's might, took it from them. So the land's ours. It's not yours. Case closed. As right as that is, like back then, we see the same thing going on today with who? Well, the so-called Palestinians, which are not even what they claim to be. And they claim that their land is theirs. It's the Palestinians. They are a descendant of the Palestinian people who lived thousands of years ago in a land called Palestine. Yeah, it's kind of like Star Wars, in a land far, far away or whatever. There has never been a Palestinian people, a government, a nation, a culture, a language, a religion. It's fake news. At least the Ammonites were in the land at one time before the Amorites defeated them, but not these people in Israel today who call themselves Palestinians. Here's the thing. God gave the children of Israel the land. And for me, I really don't care what the United Nations or any other government leader says, because God trumps them all, right? This is God's land. He gave it to the Jewish people. Now, again, we have churches that come against Israel for war crimes and side with the Palestinians who are really brutally killing their own people by using them as shields to protect themselves. The millions upon millions of dollars that are given to the Palestinian people from nations around the world are being used for armaments and not to rebuild their cities. And there's so many misconceptions about this. And I even hear pastors that I respect call the land of Israel Palestine. It never really was, and it never will be. In my Bible, maybe in yours, I have maps in my Bible. And mine says, drives me crazy, I almost want to rip it out, Palestine in Christ's time. How many of you read that when you're going through the scriptures that it was called the land of Palestine? Oh, none of you? Yeah, because it's not in there. It's called the land of Israel, okay? It's pretty simple. And here's the thing. The whole idea of the Palestinians, this group of people, did not exist until about 1948, when Arab inhabitants wished to differentiate themselves from the Jews. And here's the thing, and I'll explain this in a minute, because there was a group of people called Palestinians. They were Jews. And I'll explain that. Hang on. The Palestinian Brigade was a group of Jewish volunteers in the British World War II Army. Guess what the so-called Palestinian, they weren't Palestinian, but the Arabs, they were in Berlin hatching plans with Adolf Hitler for world conquest and how to kill all the Jews. There was the Palestinian Symphony Orchestra, all Jews. Palestinian Post, Jewish newspaper. And I like what Zola Lovett wrote. He said, during the last few centuries, the world, Christians included, have fallen into a bad habit. We have bought into some early Roman propaganda. We have used the name Palestine, which Roman Emperor Hadrian placed on the country of Israel in 135 AD, for so long that it has become common usage. This would be as incorrect as calling the Russia of today the Soviet Union or referring to Berlin as East Germany. Isn't that interesting? This was a derogatory term that Emperor Hadrian gave to this land because the Jews were in a revolt. He fought against them. And he said, this is no longer Israel. This is Palestine. Because you guys are done. I've had it with you. Why do the Arabs now call themselves Palestinians? Basically to persuade a misinformed world that they are distinct nationally and that Palestine is their ancestral homeland. But they are not distinct nationally at all. They're the same in language, custom, tribal, and family ties as the Arabs of Syria and Jordan and beyond. Many of the so-called Palestinians came to the area because of the prosperity created by the Jews. It was pretty much a wasteland before the Jews came back and fixed it up. Dave Hunt, the late Dave Hunt, wrote this. He said, to the British Peel Commission in 1937, a local Arab leader testified, there is no such country as Palestine. Palestine is a term the Zionists invented. Well, isn't that interesting? How many of you have heard that before, huh? Professor Philip Hitti, Arab historian, testified to an Anglo-American committee of inquiry in 1946, there is no such thing as Palestine in history. Absolutely not. I don't see that on the news, do you? To the UN Security Council on May 31st, 1956, Ahmed Shakeri declared, it is common knowledge that Palestine is nothing but southern Syria. 8 years later, in 1964, he became the founding chairman of the Palestine Liberation Organization and coined the famous slogan, we'll drive the Jews into the sea. Isn't that interesting how he changed? He wasn't even a Palestinian. Well, there really isn't any. Guess where he was born? The same place that Yasser Arafat, the head of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, was from, Cairo, Egypt. Wow, you're the head of a group of people that don't exist from an area that's not even part of the so-called Palestine, but they're exploiting this stuff. And you have to understand this. Arabs in the Middle East own 99.9% of the land. Just get a map out and look at it. Just Google that. 99.9%. The Jews own 0.1% of the land in the Middle East. And the Arabs want that land. Go figure. Why? Because they want the Jews gone. You see, if Islam is true, then the Jews have to be gone. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. Obviously, that's not going to happen. God gave the land to the Jewish people. It was his to give to them. Genesis 12:7. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Yeah. Genesis 13:15. For all the land which I see, I give to you and your descendants till 1948. No, forever. Forever. How long is that? Forever. Pretty simple. The word Israel in the Bible is mentioned 2,565 times in 2,293 verses in the King James Version of the Bible. Jerusalem, 811 times in 764 verses. In the Quran, zero. not even once. And yet, Muslims claim that the city, Jerusalem, is their third most holiest city. How could that be? You don't even mention it. The Jews have been in the land of Israel continuously for about 3,000 years. Not so, obviously, with the Palestinians, because they're not even a group of people. And there's so many myths out there that people believe are the truth, and they're not. And I think that's exactly what they're trying to do in our country as well. They're trying to remove what this nation was built upon. And it was not the freedom to worship any god. It was built upon the idea to worship the one true God, Jesus Christ. I could see the ACLU going crazy over that. I see people going nuts over that. Come on! That can't be right. It is. We live in what I believe is the greatest nation in the world. We have so many blessings. And the reason we do, what made this nation so great, is not because of our hard work or how smart we are. It was built upon Jesus Christ. That's what made our nation get great. In fact, French writer Alex de Tocqueville, I believe is how you say his name, came to this conclusion after he visited America back in 1831. And listen to what he wrote. He said, "I sought for the greatness of the United States in her commodious harbors, her ample rivers, her fertile fields, and boundless forests. And it was not there. I saw for it in her rich mines, her vast world commerce, her public school system, and in her institutions of higher learning, and it was not there. I looked for it in her Democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." Wow. As we turn from God, then men are going to do whatever is right in their own hearts. And it's evil. There's no peace without the Prince of Peace in a person's life. Why are these people so, you know, anxious and just never content? Because there's no peace for the wicked. Unless they do whatever is right in their own hearts, and it's not good. Patrick Henry said this, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." You thought I was kidding about that. You thought, Pastor Joe, you've gone too far. What do you mean, Jesus Christ? That's the God we're to worship. And this, I thought we were here so we could worship any God we can. No, it was built upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. How often do you hear that spoken of? Not at all, because it's not politically correct. It doesn't promote their agenda of removing Jesus out of our nation. John Jay, the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, one of the three men most responsible for our Constitution, wrote this, "Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of a Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers." Wow. Let's get some running, huh? This is from Roger Sherman, signer of both the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. "I believe that there is one only living and true God, existing in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The same in substance, equal in power and glory. That the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are a revelation from God and a complete rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy him." Amen to that, right? You don't even hear that being taught in churches today by pastors. And here was a man who was a signer of the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. This is from 1892, comes from the Supreme Court of the United States after citing 87 presidents and decided that "our laws and our institutions must necessarily be based upon and embodied by the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. It's impossible that it should be otherwise. And in this sense and to this extent, our civilization and our institutions are emphatically Christian. This is a religious people. This is historically true. From the discovery of this continent to the present hour, there is a single voice making this affirmation. We find everywhere a clear recognition of the same truth. These and many other matters which might be noticed add volume of unofficial declarations to the mass of organic utterance that this is a Christian nation. Remember several years ago when President Obama said, "We are not a Christian nation." It's pretty much true now, but it wasn't back then. This is a Christian nation. I pray we go back to that, right? That revival breaks out, that people get saved. I don't care what the laws say. I care about what's in a person's heart. Is it Jesus Christ? How could we say that this was not a Christian nation? You look at the history and the system of government our founding fathers gave us. We have so much to be thankful for. We have the longest running, ongoing constitutional republic, some 244 years under the same document and form of government. It's unprecedented. France, they have at least 7 completely different forms of government. Italy, 51 or more. They're Italians. You know, I'm Italian. We just do whatever, you know, keep changing. We're still on our first. And that's what they're trying to change. That's what they need to get rid of. Why? Because we're a sovereign nation. And we can't become part of the global community. We can't become part of a global government. And so they keep eroding away at our Constitution. And now the Constitution is an evolving document. No, it was never meant to be an evolving document. The Constitution is the Constitution. These are the rules we follow. But now they add to it, and they reinterpret it, and they come to their own conclusions. Very dangerous. There's a group of political science professors from the University of Houston, and they felt if they could see whom the founders were quoting, they could determine the source of their ideas. That was a good one. They looked at 15,000 writings of that era. It took them 10 years to complete their work, and this is what they found. 34% of the direct quotes in the political writings of the founding era, guess where it was from? The Bible. 34% of their writings were biblical. Again, we have pastors that don't even have that much in their sermons, right? They formed this government by looking at God's word and applying it. I'll give you just a couple things here. I don't want to spend too much time, but I think this is important. Some of the charters of America's first colonies. And, you know, if anyone did that today, the ACLU would be all over them. This is the 1606 charter for a colony in Virginia. To make habitation and deduce a colony of sundry or various of our people into the part of America commonly called Virginia, and propagating of Christian religion to such people as yet live in darkness. What was the motivation here? To bring the gospel message to the Indians and the people that lived here in America. The ones who were in darkness needed the light of the gospel. That was part of their charter. 1680 to 1681, charter for Pennsylvania. William Penn, out of a commendable desire to convert the savage natives by gentle and just manners to the love of civil society and Christian religion, hath humbly besought leave of us to transport an ample colony unto a certain country, in the parts of America not yet cultivated and planted. The colonies of Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Plymouth, and New Haven back in 1643 joined together to form the New England Confederation. And this is what the document said. We all came into these parts of America with one and the same end and aim, namely to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how often is that taught in the school system? And is that the goal of the church today? Are we here to advance the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are we here to advance our own rights and privileges? Well, first of all, and I'll let you in on a little secret. You have absolutely no rights and privileges. You are a bondslave of Jesus Christ, and you are to follow him. You are to be obedient to him. So we have no rights. And if we serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we have everything. I don't need any other rights but the ones he's given to me. 1636 Rules of Harvard. Harvard was a Christian institution. You'd never know that today, would you? This is what they declared. Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life, John 17:3. And therefore to lay Christ in the bottom as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning. And seeing the Lord only giveth wisdom, let everyone seriously set himself by prayer in secret to seek it of him. Proverbs 2 and 3. Everyone shall so exercise himself in reading the scriptures twice a day that he shall be ready to give such an account of his proficiency therein. Wow, that was Harvard. Go see what they're teaching today. Yale, founded by 10 ministers, 1699, to plant in under the divine blessing to propagate in this wilderness the blessed Reformed Protestant religion.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us? As we feast on God's word, come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.